kick off a brand new sermon series this morning that I've entitled Our Mission. And our mission is that we are a community of followers devoted to connecting and serving all people through the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what you'll read on our website. That's what you have on the handouts that might be on the seat next to you this morning. East Columbus Christian Church is a community of followers devoted to connecting and serving all people through the good news of Jesus Christ. Last year, we developed this mission statement among the staff and among the elders, and this is what we are telling the world that we are all about, a community of followers devoted to connecting and serving all people through the good news of Jesus Christ. But what does that mean to us? I mean, it looks good on a t-shirt, or it looks good on a website, or maybe even a coffee mug, or whatever the case may be, but honestly, I doubt that many of us even know what our statement is. If I were to ask you, what is the mission of East Columbus Christian Church, would you know our mission statement? And why is this important? Why do we even have a mission statement? Well, a mission statement is a thing that's very important for us. It's something that tells us in one or two sentences exactly what our church is about. So a strong mission statement should give people a clear understanding of what we're doing and why we are doing it. But part of our problem is we mix up our mission statement with how we carry out the mission statement. Part of our problem is we mix up what our mission is with the methods in which we do it. To clarify, a method is something that helps you to accomplish your mission. It's how you do what you do. The mission is why we exist. And this was articulated very well in a column that I read this past week by church leader Kerry Newhoff. And I want to share some of what he said and see how it resonates with you, because it really resonated with me, and I think it needs to resonate with all of us. Here's what Kerry says in his article. He says, "The problem in most organizations is people, including leaders, get very fond of their methods. You get rewarded for great methods, like the kind of service you offer or the programming your church does or whatever else you become good at. You get rewarded by results and sometimes by becoming known for how well you do things. Nobody was better at film photography for almost a century than Kodak. But now, because they refuse to change their methods, they are now defunct. Chances are the people you lead love your methods, otherwise they wouldn't be there." And he's speaking to pastors and other church leaders now. He says, "The people you lead love your methods, otherwise they wouldn't be there, which is also why it's so difficult to change them. Change the music you're known for and prepare to be unpopular for a long time, maybe even prepare to get fired. Change the programming people love and get ready for some backlash. That's because," and this is what Newhoff says, "when you confuse the method with the mission, then we're in trouble. Some people see the methods as sacred, but they don't see the mission as sacred. And sometimes because your methods have made you successful, you come to see them as sacred, and you're reluctant to change them when the methods aren't sacred at all. Methods are never sacred, particularly in the church. The mission, and only the mission, is what is sacred." That's what Kerry Newhoff says. And so what does that mean for us? This really resonated with me this week, because I feel like for far too long we've been too hung up on methods within not just this church but all of our churches, but particularly we've had this in our mindset as well down through the years. And the deal is this: we shouldn't be hung up on our methods. Those things should support what we are about. Our greatest goal, if our greatest goal each week is to provide a church service for people to come to, and that's all we're doing, then we failed. If we get so hung up on our methods and how we do things and we fail to reach out and be who God has called us to be, then we have failed. And I hate to admit it, but I think I've failed you in this area. I think we've all failed in this area to some degree, because I feel like our focus is just sometimes on, well, what are we going to do in the church service this week? And really, when you stop and look at it, the church service on Sunday mornings, what happens on Sunday morning should be a very small piece of what the church is all about. And if we're truly a community of devoted followers, as our mission statement says we are, then just being focused on a worship service on Sunday morning is not enough. I don't want to be like Kodak. Do you? I don't want 15, 20, 30 years down the road, East Columbus Christian Church to not exist anymore because we're so hung up on methods and we drop the ball when it comes to our mission. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. The church will stand. The church universal will stand. The Bible makes it very clear that the church will last throughout this world. And the Bible even says the very gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So nothing is going to destroy the church, but that doesn't mean that this particular group of believers on the corner is going to always be here. See what I'm saying? It doesn't necessarily mean that East Columbus Christian Church is always going to exist. I hope that it is, but when you look around at the churches that are failing throughout the United States of America, it is alarming. And the reason why they're failing so many times is because they're more in love with their methods than they are their mission. So I think it's very important for us to take a look at what our mission is, who we are, commit ourselves to the mission, to commit ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, and then commit ourselves to what He has called us to do. So what I want to do starting today, and I'm excited about this because I think it can be a game changer for our church, I want to break down what our mission says we are, who we are. I want to look at this first part of it this week in particular. It says, East Columbus Christian Church is a community of followers who are devoted. I just want to focus on this part of being a community right now. And what does that mean to be a community of followers that are devoted to each other and devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ and devoted to this mission? Well, here's what I think it means to us. I think it means because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because Jesus came from heaven, because He went to the cross and died for our sins, and because He came back to life 3 days later, and we have this opportunity to have this incredible relationship with Him, and because of this amazing promise that He has that we're going to go to heaven to be with Him forever, that should make us all on the same page in terms of our relationship with each other. You know? Some of the worst arguments and some of the most hurt feelings that I've ever seen in my life come from people within the church hurting one another. We need to look at the New Testament. We need to see what that mission says we ought to be about. We need to understand that we are the body of Christ, and this body of Christ, which is intended to be this vibrant alternative to the things of the world, and where we ought to be able to come together and love one another and be family, as we just sang about a moment ago. The New Testament church is portrayed as this Christian community that God has created and He's allowed each one of us to be a part of because of the perfect sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. We have that in common. We think it's exciting sometimes when we find out that we have something in common with someone. Like every once in a while I'll be like, hey, you know what, that guy just shot left-handed. I'm left-handed. It's cool. We're both left-handed, you know. Have you ever done something stupid like that? I mean, you're kind of like, oh, wow, he drives a Ford. I drive a Ford. I do that? I'm the only one? Okay, you two, three of us? All right, very good. You know, we get so worked up over having this commonality with other people about things that really don't matter. But when we understand we have this bond because we are all children of God, we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's an amazing thing. And because of this, I think this is what the writer of Hebrews was saying in chapter 10, beginning in verse 19. Follow along with me on the screen. Turn there in your Bibles or on your phones if you want to. But it's in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 19. Here's what it says. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have this confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, and we talk about this before, anytime that they have a therefore in there, you need to understand what it's there for, right? And so the therefore means because we have this bond, because Jesus died for us, because we now are not separated from God by this curtain that once stood in the Holy of Holies. That's been torn down because of what Jesus did at the cross. Therefore, since we have this confidence that we can enter into the most holy place because of the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain that is His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So I want you to see three things from this passage of Scripture that I think deals with what we're dealing with today in our mission, and that is this issue of community. Three truths that I think East Columbus Christian Church should carry out in everything that we do. Things that you should be seeking to carry out. First is this: we're part of a community of believers to help shape others. As we look at verse 24, we see a command that simply says, consider. Let us consider. If you're a believer, you need to, and this is what I think the writer of Hebrews is saying, because of the blood of Jesus and because we share this common bond, because we have access to the throne room of God, if you are a believer, you need to carefully think about not just yourself, but one another. The Greek word here literally means to approach thoughtfully. And so what I think the writer of Hebrews is saying here is we should give deliberate thought about what we're doing, what we're saying, how we're acting, and how we might spur one another along. In all honesty, what I've witnessed more often than not in 28 plus years of full-time ministry is people who are more considerate of what they like than they are of other people. I have witnessed in my own life at times my wants and my desires, putting them at the forefront instead of focusing on people who are lost and if they were to die wouldn't go to heaven. Putting myself first and not others. In other words, when we consider our methods, if we consider them to be greater than our mission, then, or let me put it this way, if we love our methods more than the mission, we're in trouble, church. We're in trouble. If we're just so in love with the way that this should be done or that should be done, or I like this or I don't like that. I think what God is saying to us today is this: it's the job of every single one of us to be involved in the spiritual formation of other people. Just forget about ourselves for a moment. See, life's not about ourselves. It's not about each individual enjoying what they can enjoy in this life. It's not about being able to like what we like and getting what we want. It's about going against what culture teaches and listening to what God teaches. And he says, and in fact, he says this through the Apostle Paul in Philippians 2, verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or in vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. And when we look at our mission statement, particularly the first part of it, ask yourself, what can I do to promote community? What can I do, first of all, to be a part of this community? And then what can I do to promote community? Here's the answer. It's a simple answer. Put others ahead of yourself. And when you're putting others before yourself, that leads to love. That leads to you wanting to do good works for people that you wouldn't normally do good works for. You promote authentic community in this place. You start loving like Jesus does. You start doing all kinds of good works for no other reason than you love someone else. Most of us have heard this term agape. It's a word that a lot of times we throw around at Valentine's Day. I don't know what I'm preaching in a couple weeks on Valentine's Day, but I got a feeling that word will find its way in there at some point. Agape love, unconditional love. Love with no strings attached. It means that you're committed to the other person's best interests. It's never self-seeking. And when we love Jesus, then His love ought to flow through us. And we ought to have that same kind of sacrificial, self-denying love that He had for us. And that only happens when we get our eyes off of ourselves, put our eyes on Him. We start meeting the needs of other people in our community and outside of our community right now. And when I say community, I mean this community of believers here, and then reach out into our community to the people who don't know Jesus, or maybe who know Jesus, but they're down on their luck and they just need a touch from someone. We get our eyes off of ourselves and on Jesus and start meeting needs. That's when we're going to see some cool things happen in this church. No. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul talks about how we grow to maturity. We grow up in maturity with one another. The body builds itself up in love. And that's what happens when we buy into what God wants us to do for our church. So here's the question we need to be asking ourselves. What can you do to encourage your brothers and sisters in Christ to be more loving toward others? Because as we're more loving toward one another, that's how we build one another up. This is how we fulfill our mission. This is how we get involved in doing the ministry of the church. Every single Christian should be involved in doing the ministry of the church to meet the needs of other people. Nobody should just get to sit on the bench and watch the game. Everybody needs to be in the game working. Far too many churches down through the years have been full of bench warmers. Any of you play ball in school, in junior high or high school or elementary? Were any of you bench warmers? Yeah, okay. Be proud of it. It's all right. The Bible says the last will be first. You know, it's okay. Yeah, I'm with you. I was one of those too. You know, did you enjoy that? Did you enjoy being a bench warmer if you were a bench warmer? No. I didn't like it at all. But I don't know, for some reason, I feel like in the church we're kind of comfortable with being a bench warmer. No. I mean, God wants us to get off the sidelines. He wants us to get in the game, and we do that by putting others first, and we see to the needs of other people, and we love Jesus. Now, the second thing that we need to understand about being a part of this community of believers is this. We're a part of the community of believers to help engage other people. Look at verse 25. It says, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So the first thing I think of when I see this passage of Scripture is, what in the world is going on in the church that the author of Hebrews feels like he needs to send a reminder to Christians that they need to start getting together again? You know? Apparently there were some Christians in the first century who for some reason were staying away from the Christian community altogether. We don't know why. Maybe there were some extenuating circumstances. Maybe they were going through some hard times. Maybe it was just spiritual apathy. Whatever the case may be, the author of Hebrews is calling them out for their unwillingness to be a part of the community of believers. Now, if you're a part of East Columbus Christian Church, meeting together is something that is expected. It's more than just a method. Now, I understand, and those of you who are watching at home, I'm not getting on you right now because I know we're in the middle of a pandemic, and I know those of you who are in the higher health risk category, you shouldn't be here, you know? But I'm afraid that for some of us, there are some habits that are being developed right now that are going to carry over long after the pandemic is over, you know, once the pandemic's behind us. You know. Online worship is a blessing, I get that, but once it's over, once you know that it's okay for you to be here, this is where you ought to be, you know. And I'm thankful for online worship, don't get me wrong, but it really shouldn't take the place of coming together as a community of believers and seeing one another. The cool thing about it is that, you know, I'm able to stand up here in Columbus, Indiana, and I've got friends from high school that are watching every Sunday, watching what we're doing, that I haven't seen probably in close to 30 years, that are watching every Sunday online. That's cool. That's great. And some are experiencing the gospel in a way that they've not been able to do it before. But if you have the opportunity to be here and you can and it's safe right now, you need to be here as often as you can. Because when you study the book of Hebrews, you would almost think that that these early Christians, some of them were not really sold out on Jesus. You look at them and you say, well, they don't see the importance of being around other Christians. And God created us to be a part of community. He created us for that. You know? And some of the Jewish Christians, I think what was happening there, some of the Jewish Christians saw worship in community just like they viewed some of the old religious practices in the Jewish days. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, I have to follow this law. I have to eat that, not eat that. I got to dot this I, cross this T, so on and so forth. And I think that some of those early Christians were seeing that as just another religious thing that I need to do in order to make it to heaven or whatever the case may be. But I think that whoever the author is talking to here, I think he's saying to them, and I think he's saying to us today as well, don't go down that road. Don't play that game. You know, don't think that it's just some religious obligation. You should come, you should want to come to church, fully expecting to experience God and be a part of the family of God as we sang just a little bit ago. Now don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. If I can clarify, I'm not saying if you come to church every week, then you're a better Christian. I'm not saying that, right? And I'm not saying if you don't come to church every week, then you're not a good Christian. I'm not saying that at all. Where you are on Sunday morning does not determine your spirituality, I don't believe. That type of teaching feeds legalism, and that's exactly what the author of Hebrews is saying you shouldn't be doing. But he is saying this. It's in community, it's in those authentic, loving, serving Christians that you are going to grow in a way that you can't grow any other way. You are going to be challenged in a way that you cannot be challenged anywhere else. It's in this type of community that you are more likely to give of yourself, more likely to do good works for other people, more likely to draw closer to Jesus. He's saying if you stay away, either physically or by an attitude, and some people do that. I know some people that might come to church every Sunday morning, but maybe in their heart or in their mind, they're not really here. And if that's your mindset, it's going to be really difficult for God to use you. It's going to be really difficult for God to work in you like He wants to. He wants this body to grow. It's His desire for this body to grow. And so the author says, don't forsake meeting together. Again, the location of your body on Sunday morning doesn't make you more or less spiritual. I heard a farmer put it this way one time. Throughout my lifetime, I've gone to the barn hundreds, if not thousands of times, but I'm still not a horse. All right? I've heard people put it this way. Going to McDonald's doesn't make you a Big Mac. Right? Standing in your garage doesn't make you a Ferrari. Going to the golf course doesn't make you a golfer. Can I get an amen? All right, very good. I thought Kendall and Dan, if nobody else. He created this institution that he called the church, where we can interact, where we can engage, where we can share, where we can open up our hearts and our lives to other people. So you can have attendance stickers all over a certificate somewhere, or Sunday school pins. Remember Sunday school pins? Did you get those when you were little? Sunday, you could have those from your shoulders all the way down to your toes. You could show up 7 days a week here at church, but if you remain disengaged and closed off and you don't open yourself up to being a part of the community, you're never going to have the impact that God wants you to have. You're never going to be impacted by God the way that He wants to impact you, and the church is going to hurt because of it. The church is going to suffer because of it. Again, many of you have stayed away in the last year, and I get that. That's why we're online every week right now. But when this is all behind, what are you going to do? I've had some people actually suggest we ought to pull our online service and make people come. Well, I don't want to do that because online worship fits our mission, I think. I think there's people, like I said before, that we're reaching that we were not able to reach before. But those who are here now, why are you here today? Our mission statement says we are a community. We are here for each other. I love the way Here in Indiana, I think one of the best examples of community and people getting excited and people getting behind something in community is you look at our small communities that have a good local basketball team or a good local football team. You know what I'm talking about? I love it. Went to see a small community have a good sports team. I remember in high school we had good sports teams and how the whole community would get behind the downtown businesses would paint their windows and they'd put stuff up on their signs, you know, go Knights and all. You remember that, Rob? I mean, we never got to play on any of those good teams, but, you know, we were benched. No, you weren't. You played. Okay. But anyway, I digress. It's awesome. Just last year, you know, I was watching this happen in Westport and South Decatur, and Kendall's team was like really, really good, and that was so exciting and so fun for that community. The gym was packed every single night. In most road games, there were more South Decatur fans in the stands than there were of the home team, and people would travel great distances and they'd spend a lot of money all so they could back their community. They spent a lot of time, they spent a lot of money because of the community pride that was there. It was something they truly believed in. And that support encouraged those kids. Every time they took the floor, they knew that all of Decatur, well, not all of Decatur, the north side wasn't all that excited about them, but the south side of Decatur County was really pulling for them, and it encouraged the coaching staff and the teachers and the administration. Nearly everyone in the community was affected by what was happening. Everybody was getting behind it. So my question is this: if a basketball team can do that for a community, imagine what the love of Christ lived out in every single one of us could do for this community and then this community if we allow Him to work in our lives the way that He wants to. Imagine if every person in this church commits themselves to our mission of becoming a part of this community that loves and serves one another. When we become a community, that starts by putting our wants and our needs and our likes to the side, and we start putting others first. Francis Schaeffer wrote this: unless people see in the church not only the preaching of the truth, but the practice of the truth, the practice of love and beauty, they will not listen, and they should not listen. Unless they see it lived out. It doesn't matter what we say. It doesn't matter what is stamped on a coffee mug or a t-shirt. Unless they see it lived out, they're not going to believe it. And that brings us to the final point. We're part of the community of believers to help encourage one another. Would you agree with me that these past several months, almost a year now, has been kind of discouraging? Would you agree with me? It has been discouraging times, and I was talking with Dean Roth about this morning, just how the devil has been working in these times and how he's been discouraging people, and people's fuses are getting shorter and they react in ways that they probably wouldn't normally react, and the devil has been working overtime. But let me encourage you with this. Instead of giving up, instead of forsaking the community and the church, forsaking the fellowship of one another, how about we just flip the script and we look for ways to encourage one another? The Bible says we need to do this as we see the day approaching. Now, there's some discussion as to what the day is they're talking about. Some people think that it meant it was a prophetic message that was going to come, that Israel was going to be flattened and that day was coming, and we need to encourage people because it's going to be difficult times. But I think what the author of Hebrews is saying here is the day that is approaching is the coming of our Lord Jesus. No, I think the writer of Hebrews is saying, listen, guys, the time is going to come when Jesus is going to come back, right? And until that day happens, we need to be encouraging one another. We need to be building one another up, because that day is coming when Jesus is coming back to take us home, and we want to take as many people with us as possible. And one way that we can really, I guess, have a bigger harvest is to start encouraging other people. You don't have to look very far to find someone who needs encouragement. Amen? Truth is, they're all around us. Truth is, you need it. Ooh. I need it. So if you need it and I need it, it's common sense to say that everybody that I come into contact with needs it at some point or another, right? Nobody likes to be discouraged all the time. If we're baptized into Christ, we're given the Holy Spirit to live inside of us, to help us in this area. Jesus told us that the Holy Spirit is called the Great Comforter. It's the same word that's used for encouragement. So Jesus tells us basically that the Holy Spirit is the Great Encourager, and we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us that should give us the ability to encourage one another if we choose to do so. When you buy into the mission of being a part of community, then encouraging one another is absolutely vital, and you are helping God build the church. Discouragement comes in the most difficult of times. And so the writer of Hebrews here is probably telling the church, listen, just because you're going through a rough time, and just because you don't know what's on the horizon, okay, there could be even tougher times ahead. Just because you know these things, don't let that lessen your faith in Christ. Don't let that pull you away from this community of believers that God has created. He's saying, listen, I know it's hard, but hang in there. Jesus is going to walk through this with you. I'm going to walk through this with you. He's going to walk through this with you. She's going to walk through this with you. That's why we have this community of believers, because times are tough sometimes. And there might be physical needs that you know of in someone's life, and you can meet those needs for someone. Do it. You know, it might be food, it might be clothing, it might be, you know how to do certain kinds of stuff, maybe at someone's house, like carpentry stuff, and that, go do it. The bottom line is this, encourage one another, and I'm going to close with this. I believe that when the world looks at the church, how we treat one another is the gauge that they use to determine whether our message is truthful or not. And I said that just a moment ago, part of Francis Schaeffer's teaching. But here's what Schaeffer, this is how he puts it. Christian community is the final apologetic. And Spencer is an apologetics guy, and he'll appreciate this. Apologetics is basically the reason or proving why you believe what you believe, or the existence of God. Okay? That's what an apologetic is. And Francis Schaeffer says, Christian community is the final apologetic. In other words, when people witness community the way it's supposed to be in the name of Jesus Christ in a church, they're going to see just how wonderful and how awesome God truly is. They're going to see that God sent His Son to die for us, and they're going to see that the Holy Spirit is real and lives inside of us. That's on us. We need to make sure that the world sees that, because that is evidence of God's existence and His love for us. East Columbus Christian Church is a community of followers devoted to connecting and serving all people through the good news of Jesus Christ. If you believe in this mission, and maybe you're sitting out there and you're not a part of this community yet, you're not a part of this church family, and maybe you'd like to become a part of it, would you consider the following? First, if you've never confessed Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you've never been baptized into Him, that's where you start. You need to do that today. Maybe you've already made that decision, but you just want to be a part of this community. You want to be a part of this family of believers. You can come forward and state that desire. Kendall will meet you here at the front. Or third, if you're a part of this community, will you take into consideration the things that I've mentioned today? Make it a point in your life. Take the little note card with you there that we've got on the pew that hopefully you took notes on. Take that with you and make it a point to help shape others. What are you doing to shape other people? What are you doing to get other people engaged? What are you doing to encourage other people? Will you commit to doing that today? Because I think we're going to see a major difference, not only in the lives around us, but you're going to see a major difference in your own life too. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. And if you have a decision that you need to make today, we encourage you to come.